shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
What is the gospel? Our English word gospel comes from the Old English word Godspell, and is a compound word made up of God, meaning divine, and spell, which has nothing to do with God knowing how to spell or a period of time, but goes back to the old meaning of possession, enchantment, trance, like a magic spell. This divine spell has morphed its way into being proclaimed as good news by all Christianism. However, there is no such word in the ancient Greek manuscripts from which the English New Testament is translated. The Greek word mistranslated gospel is euangelion, and is a compound made up of eu, which means do well, and is translated well-doing, and angelion, which means messenger, and is translated this way as well as angel. The literal meaning of euangelion is a doing well messenger, which is one who delivers the correct message to the correct person expeditiously. The English word gospel never appears in the Bible except in the New Testament, and Christianity claims that this is why the Old Testament no longer applies. But this is another of their legion of lies, for euangelion is in both the Old and New Testament, and is the same thing. Speaking about Israel being led out of Egypt by Moses, Hebrews 4:2 says, "For unto us was the gospel, euangelion, preached, as well as unto them, Israel. But the word preached did not profit them, Israel, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it, the gospel, euangelion." Here is something else for all New Testament gospel-teers. Did you know that God preached before the gospel, euangelion, unto Abraham? Galatians 3:8. Of course, you didn't know because you have no knowledge of the Scriptures, and you also will be ignorant of what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 10:15. And how shall they preach, except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel, euangelion, of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. Did you notice that this New Testament verse directly quotes from the Old Testament? This is why it says, as it is written. And it was written in Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Paul, in quoting Isaiah, says, gospel, euangelion, of peace, and tidings, euangelion, of good, where the Hebrew Shama is translated publisheth in the phrases publisheth peace and also publisheth salvation. The Septuagint is the Greek translation made from the Paleo-Hebrew manuscripts of the Old Testament in the 3rd century B.C. It was long after the 1st century A.D. that the Jews created a new language called modern Hebrew and wrote a new Old Testament called the Masoretic Text, which is a perversion of what existed prior to the 1st century A.D. The new improved Masoretic Text that debuted around 500 A.D. changed the dates and prophecies of the Old Testament in an attempt to prove that Jesus was not the Messiah, the anointed of Yahweh. It was this Masoretic mess that was used by the King James translators, and it's been taught to the clergy since the 1500s. The great thing about the Septuagint is that it not only did escape the clutches of the perverting Jews, but it is also written in the same Greek language as the ancient manuscripts from which the English New Testament is translated. Going to Isaiah 52:7 in the Septuagint and looking at this verse in the Greek, or found the words containing the prefix euangelion, which is translated publisheth in the King James Version. So euangelion is not something that began in the New Testament, but appears hundreds of times in the Old Testament, which is more times than in the New Testament, and is clearly seen by going back to the most ancient manuscripts. Why has humanized Christianity kept all this hidden for the last 500 years? So they can put their own spin on the word euangelion, like they did on ekklesia, Jesus, Christos, and huitheosse, just to mention a few. Each of these have been addressed in other messages. Word distortion is necessary in all things called Christian in order to pursue their evil endeavors of enslaving the souls of men. Who do you think is proud of all the things that they have done and are doing in the name of Jesus? Is it the agnostics, Buddhists, Shintoists, Muslims, or Jews? Who do you think Jesus is addressing in Matthew 7:21-23? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Who is teaching that the Jews are God's chosen people, Israel? Who is teaching that white people are the children of the devil? Who is teaching that Yahweh's law has been done away with? Who is teaching that the Old Testament has been replaced with the New Testament? Who is teaching that their God is a God of love and not that Old Testament God of hate? Who is teaching the brotherhood of man and fatherhood of God? Who is teaching that Jesus came to save all people? Who is teaching to love the sinner, but hate the sin. Who is teaching that all races are equal? Who is teaching to obey all government laws? Who is teaching that all religions must have equal freedom? Who is teaching that gays are okay and welcomed into their congregations? Who's teaching that anyone is free to choose Jesus and make God their Father? Who is teaching that everyone that accepts Christ can go to heaven when they die? Who is teaching that all people come into existence when some man's sperm fertilizes some woman's egg? Who is teaching that no one pre-existed this world? Who is teaching that living in earth is a one-time event? Who is teaching all manner of wickedness, which is in direct violation of all Scripture? If you had enough of this, I could go on for an hour enumerating all the things that Christianity is teaching, which are contrary to the word of Yahweh. And they all have ascended from the dark abyss. Anything bearing the name Christian is totally perverted. It's nothing but the demonic, denominational doctrines of demagogues. Christianity has shifted the focus from being a euangelion, a good messenger, to the God spell, which is some sort of divine magic spell that happens when people die. Their gospel is all accomplished when the flesh and blood body dies, and God then waves his wand and zaps people into heaven or hell for all eternity. They run around proclaiming their gospel good news, that Jesus died so that all acceptors of him can live in heavenly mansions, walk streets of gold, and enjoy all manner of rewards forever and ever. According to them, this will be a time of great joy, even though there may be friends and family who miss this gravy train and crash and burn in hell. With this loss of loved ones, how could heaven be a happy place? Is it conceivable that God acts like some spoiled child, destroying his own creation, which he made the way he wanted, and now he does not like it, so he throws it away? Of course, these Christianites do not believe that the creation is the way God made it, but it is spinning out of control while he sits helpless, unable to do anything. Enough is enough of this foolishness. It is time for the good messenger. Here it is. Yahweh is in control of all things. Everything is working according to his plan. He made some vessels for wrath and destruction, and others for glory and honor. Romans 9:20-23. He will have mercy on whom he chooses, hardens others in order to raise them up so that he can destroy them. And man's will has nothing to do with this. Romans 9:15-18. Church kites hate these verses because they do not fit their social gospel that any two-legged whatnot varmint has the freedom to come to Jesus and make God their Father. Yahushua says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6:44. Just in case the truth was missed, he repeats it. Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. John 6:65. Howl and cry loud, all free willers. The Christian autotoms just go freewheeling along in their strong delusion. This message is not for everyone, but is only for those who Yahweh foreknew and chose according to his predestinated plan, for whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Romans 8:29-30. Another euangelion was a disciple of Jesus who brought the same message. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, who the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. 1 Peter 1:1-2. The elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, were the strangers that had been scattered into various nations. The Greek word parapitimus is translated strangers only once by the King Jimmy boys, the rest of the time as pilgrims. The English word pilgrim originated just prior to the Crusades, means a foreigner taking a sacred journey, which would be a more accurate rendering of the Greek. This is seen in 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, parapitimus, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. In this verse, the Greek word parapitimus is translated pilgrims. Another example of this is in Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims, parapitimus, on the earth. Here is revelation, if you can receive it. The pilgrims were foreigners taking a sacred journey on the earth. This statement may have just skipped by, but no one is a pilgrim in their own hometown. Did you get it? Earth has to be a foreign place, not the pilgrim's place of origin. If light is beginning to dawn, then it becomes apparent that those who Yahweh draws unto Yahweh, he foreknew, elected, chose, called, justified, predestinated to be glorified, conforms to the image of his Son, that he, Jesus, Yahweh, the anointed Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. And these did not originate in the earth. If not in earth, then where? Where did Jesus, Yahweh, originate? for the answer, look at what he prays in John 17. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I have given them thy word. The world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. John 17, 5 through 6, 11, 14 through 16, 20, 23. Jesus speaks about the glory which I had with thee, Yahweh, before the world was, flat out states, I am not of the world, and that thou, Yahweh, hast sent me, Yahweshua, into the world. If he had glory with the Father before the world was, then he existed in heaven before entering earth and did not begin life by being born on earth. Now grasp this. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, and thine they were. Who are the they? They are his disciples, excluding Judas, the son of perdition, verse 12, and them also which shall believe on me through their word. Don't get ensnared in the Christian web of anyone has the free choice to believe, but go back to the previous scriptures where it is clearly stated who will believe on Jesus. They're only the ones who Yahweh draws unto Yahweshua. They are the ones who Yahweh foreknew, elected, chose, called, justified, predestinated to be glorified and conforms to the image of his Son, that he, Jesus, Yahweshua, the anointed Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus pre-existed with his Father in heaven, and he has brethren who will be made perfect and conformed into his perfected image. The anointed Yahweshua is only the firstborn among many brethren. These brethren were foreknown when thine they were. They're not of this world, even as Jesus was not of the world. All these are the children of Yahweh sent into earth as Jesus was to be perfected. It is through this process that they grow up into mature adults who are justified and glorified. They left heaven as children, carrying in them the divine racial spirit, the seed of Yahweh, and entered earth in flesh and blood bodies. Upon completing their courses of perfection, they all will bear the same perfected image of their firstborn brother. Deep within vibrates the spirit that knows this is true. You may not understand, but you recognize its validity. Why? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Romans 8:16-17. As perfection nears completion, then burst forth this declaration, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8:18. Everything has been predestinated by the Father, and he is bringing all things into your life which will perfect you. This process is not easy come, easy go, but will be experienced as a repetition of hard lessons learned. They will be retained for all eternity. Yes, what impacts us changes us. So what has transpired in this cycle of life is necessary to get us further down the road. Yahweh's in control of all things, and being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ, Yahweshua the Anointed. Philippians 1:6. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Things do work together for good according to his purpose for those who he has called, who were his children in heaven, who carry that racial divine seed, Yahweh's spirit in flesh bodies. Because of this indwelling spirit seed, they love him and cry, Father, Father. This may be a whole new concept for you simply because humanized Christianity abandoned the fundamental teachings of the Bible for their powerless oracles that keeps all in bondage. But it rings true in your innermost being. That is, of course, if you are one of Yahweh's children from heaven. Jesus told the 70 when they excitedly returned from their mission, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Luke 10:20. It was in heaven when our names were written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Revelation 17:8. In case the significance of this is missed, then understand that when Yahweh gave you a name, you existed. We, as the racial children of God, pre-existed this world, and this is all according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4. All this is God's hidden wisdom and is a mystery to the world, as Paul says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. 1 Corinthians 2:7. Through this earthly journey, our Father keeps us in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Titus 1:2. We are not of the world, but we were with our Father Yahweh before the world was. Be assured that it is God who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ, the anointed Jesus, Yahweshua, before the world began, 2 Timothy 1:9. All things pertaining to us were given us before the world began. As we were with the Father in heaven, He is with us in earth. According to the Bible, the children of Yahweh existed with Him in heaven. No, they're not Christians, believers, acceptors, or any other title contrived by man. It is the family name of their father that precedes any name they may have been known by while inhabiting flesh bodies. The first time that the name of Yahweh is used in the Bible is in Genesis 2:4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth. They were created the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. But where is the name in this verse? Remember that the verse quoted is in English and is a translation from another language. Looking at the ancient Hebrew reveals the true name of God, and it is not a generic term, the Lord God, but is Yahweh, the Lord, Elohim, God. Hundreds and hundreds of times, Yahweh Elohim is mistranslated, the King James Version of the Bible, the Lord God. Yahweh has a surname which is Elohim. His children have the same surname, Elohim. Now, is that complicated? There are other places in the scriptures where the children of the Most High are called Elohim. In John 10:30, Jesus, Yahweshua, said, "I and my Father are one." Claiming to follow the word of God, the law, the Jews immediately took up stones to kill Jesus. Exposing their complete hypocrisy, Jesus points them into the very law they pretended to obey and corruptly claimed was theirs. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I have said, ye are gods'?" John 10:34. This is a direct quotation from Psalms 82:6. "I have said, ye are gods." And it is the Hebrew word Elohim that is translated gods in this verse. The concept of gods is not confined to just the Old Testament, but flowed from the very lips of Jesus. Now the question arises, who are these gods? Jesus says in John 10:35 that they are the ones unto whom the word of God came. Now go back to Psalms 82:6. Look at the whole verse. "I have said, ye are gods, Elohim, and all of you are the children of the Most High." These gods, Elohim, are the children of the Most High. In Romans 1:25, the Apostle Paul says that evil people changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. This is only one of the attributes of Yahweh God. And in Matthew 6:9, Jesus, Yahweshua, says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven." And this is another attribute of Yahweh God. Understand the meaning of these two statements. Yahweh is the Creator and the Father. And these are not synonymous or equal terms. A person can invent or create things and can also have children. But one does not have anything to do with the other. Something so obvious escapes rational thought when it comes to the Scriptures. In reality, there are only two things which exist, and they are Yahweh God's creation and His family. This family is Elohim, and not all two-legged creatures are members of this divine race. All races that exist in earth are a creation of God, except for one. Did you not know that when the Elohim put on flesh and blood, that they can only do it by coming into a specific race? Going back to Genesis, where Yahweh's surname is given, will also tell the name of the race through which the Elohim come into earth. And the Lord Yahweh God Elohim formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis 2:7. Where was any racial word in this verse? The word translated man is from two Hebrew words, etha adam. Etha is the equivalent of our English definite article the, and adam means to show blood in the face, to be rosy, to be able to blush. This characteristic was so unique that this individual was named for it. So he was called the Adam. Looking back to this verse, it will be seen that the Adam was not created, but for. He was not created in the earth. The word translated formed is from the Hebrew word wayeser, and means to fashion something. This is not creating something from nothing, but is forming, fashioning something that already exists. The Adam was the first Elohim into earth. He was not the first two-legged creature on earth, but was the first son of God, Luke 3:38, that left heaven, put on a flesh body, and began to sojourn in this world. From that day until this, the Elohim come into earth through the racial doorway of the Adam. The race of Adam in the earth is able to show blood in the face, is rosy, and is able to blush. This characteristic is true of only one race, that is the white race. There are a lot of light-skinned races, the Jews being one of them, but none of them can blush. If you want to know who's why, then look for the blush. The Elohim have had many different names applied to them while they sojourned in the earth, such as the ancient names of Adamites, Semites, Hebrews, Israelites, to the more modern names of Teutonic, Germanic, Nordic, Saxon, White Western people, and today's names of Cracker, Honky, Gringo, White Devil, but they are all Elohim. No matter when or where these children of Yahweh dwelt in earth, they have always prospered, and whatever the other races enjoyed flowed from the Elohim being present in the land. As 1 Peter 2:9 says, But ye are a chosen genosgene race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he goes on to say in verse 11, we are strangers and pilgrims in the earth. The New Testament begins by saying in Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation, genos, of Jesus Christ. This is never going to be addressed or recognized by anything Christian, but there is a genetic divine race of which Yahweh, the Anointed, was a member, and this is Elohim. He also came into the earth through the racial doorway of the Adam. The Old Testament is a book about this heavenly divine genetic race. Notice what is said in Genesis 5:1. This is the book of the generations of Adam, Etha Adam. The word translated generations in the ancient manuscript of the Septuagint is also from genos. Therefore, both Old and New Testament are books about a genetic race, and this is the race of Yahweh and his children, Elohim, that existed in heaven before the foundation of the world. These children came into earth in flesh bodies through the doorway of the Adam. They are white. Carry within them the divine seed, spirit, were foreknown and predestinated by their father Yahweh Elohim to be perfected, are the called according to his purpose to be conformed into that same perfected image of Yahweshua, their brother, and will reach that adult glorification that he came into first. This is the destiny of the Elohim, which Yahweh promised them before they ever left heaven and entered into earth. All these promises were reconfirmed to them as they dwelt in flesh bodies and are called covenants in the Bible. The whole plan of Yahweh is his commitment to the Elohim. And it was laid out in heaven, will be performed in the earth. No power in heaven or earth will change this predestinated plan, which is still unfolding and operating today. Every covenant that was made in earth had already been established in heaven before the world was. Those which were made to Adam, Noah, Abraham, Israel, Levi, David, or to any Elohim in flesh, pre-existed their pilgrimage in the far country of earth. If this meat might be a little difficult to chew, then understand when the slaying of the Lamb of God took place. This is first mentioned in Genesis 22:7-8, when Isaac asked his father Abraham, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. This event is prophesied in Isaiah 53:6-8. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord Yahweh hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. This passage is also quoted in Acts 8:32-33, when in verse 35 it says, Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. The Lamb that Yahweh would provide is Jesus, Yahweshua the Anointed. The first event in Jesus' ministry was when he was baptized by John the Baptist. Now look at what is recorded in John 1:29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. John the Baptist restates this in John 1:36. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. The statement that Jesus, as the Lamb of God, which was to be slain, may not be unknown. But according to all Christianity, he was slain when he was crucified on earth some 2,000 years ago. This is another misdirection, since everything they teach has only to do with a flesh life. You know what they say? All people come into existence when some man's sperm fertilizes some woman's egg. This begins life, and after death it continues either in heaven or hell for all eternity, which will be determined by whether or not some act is done in this fleshly one-time incarnation. Their whole image of the Lamb of God being slain is one pertaining to a flesh and blood Jesus hanging dead on a physical earthly cross. This may have been your understanding, but is this according to the Bible? Revelation 5:6 speaks of the Lamb as it had been slain, which in verse 5 is said to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. And then in Revelation 22:16, it is the statement, I, Jesus, am the root and offspring of David. Jesus was the root of David, was the Lamb that had been slain. This phrase, had been slain, is past tense. But when in the past did it occur? Revelation 13:8 says that he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This event took place in heaven before Jesus entered a flesh and blood body, came into earth, for it did not happen after the foundation of the world. All things that are happening in earth are in complete conformity to Yahweh's plan, which was drawn up before the foundation of the world, and they are being carried out here in their totality, from Act 1 to the dropping of the curtain at the end of the final act. Earth is simply a stage upon which the greatest play of past, present, and future enactments of Yahweh are shown to all of creation. They pertain to the perfecting of his children, Elohim, into the adults that will be competent administrators of his kingdom government in earth. Know this, all Elohim, you are eternal and were before the foundation of the world. You come into earth through a definite flesh and blood race in order to learn the lessons of earth so that you will be able to reign and rule over Yahweh's kingdom in earth as righteously as he does in heaven. Only the most arrogant, puffed up ego will ever think that this perfection is accomplished in them. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12:32. No man, group, or organization will bring in the kingdom, for this is what Yahweh alone does. And it will only happen after he has thoroughly prepared those who will rule in it. No matter what is going on today, Yahweh your Father is in control of all things. He foreknew you, knows what you need to bring you into that glorious image of his firstborn son, your brother. Yahweh God's plan has never changed. There is no power in heaven or earth that is able to change it either. Everything going on today in the world and in your life is in complete conformity to it. Christianity professes the antithesis of this with its doctrines that God creates things one way and all of a sudden they become something completely different than what he made them. Really? How could this happen? Is this just more Jew Darwin evolutionism? Or can the created thing change itself through its own free will? Did God create a goody-good archangel and one day it evolved or chose to become a baddie-bad who declared war on God? Not only does Christianism teach such nonsense, but that this rebellious thing then created evil. Now, there are two creators, the devil and God, and poor old God can't do anything with him. According to this, who has the most power? The church has created the big bad wolf that's going to get you if you don't join, believe, accept, and support their denominational doctrines. After all, it is their mission to do God's work since he's not doing anything to stop this reign of evil terrorizing the whole world. Yahweh created the devil, Satan, the way he is, and he will never be anything different. Is he in rebellion or at war with God? No, nothing in the scripture says this or even insinuates such a corrupted concept. Just go read Job 1:6-12 and 2:1-7. There is no rebellion or war between God and Satan found here, but Satan is respectful and obedient to God. The church, in promoting its rebellious, warring mumbo-jumbo, will refer to Revelation 12:7-9, but there is nothing going on here between Yahweh God and the devil, Satan. The only reference is to Michael and his angels, and they certainly are not God. Now, if the devil, Satan, did not create evil, then from where did it come? It came from God Almighty. He created it. This is what the Bible says in Isaiah 45:7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord Yahweh, do all these things. Take a deep breath if you must. But God is in control of and does all things. Everything has a purpose, or it would not exist. And yes, the devil, Satan, and evil have their purpose. Nothing is allowed, permitted, or outside of God's will. His plan has always been in force and is being carried out today. Now, this is the gospel of the Bible. Yahweh God is your Father, O Elohim, and Yahweh Shoah is your big brother, redeemer, deliverer, trailblazer, and ever-present guide. You are not a creation, but Yahweh took you out of himself, and because of this, you are eternal, past, present, and future. When you see all the things going on now, which are indicative of the final act in this present age, remember what Jesus Yahweshua said in Luke 21:28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. This may be the time of great tribulation for the world, but it is the most wonderful time for the Elohim because their perfection is coming to an end and graduation day is fast approaching. Rejoice in the understanding that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And that you are heirs of Yahweh God and joint heirs with Jesus Yahweshua. Let your heart be filled with gladness, for he that has begun a good work in you will finish it.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message, and that you were fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.